And I appreciate the opportunity to preach to y'all tonight. I want to be a blessing to you. And I know this church family has already been a blessing to our family. And so I want to say thank you, Bible Baptist Church, for the blessing you've been to our extended family here over these past few days and the funeral yesterday. And I can't say thank you enough. Thank you for being a blessing to my kids and me and my dad and Sonia and the whole family. And so I hope that just for a few minutes here tonight as I preach, I can be a blessing to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's begin. We're going to dive right into it. Verse 1. We're going to read the first four verses. 2 Corinthians 1. Beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and I want you to notice this, and the God of all comfort. Aren't you glad He's the God of all comfort? We're going to talk about this tonight. Verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. So you notice a few times in this passage that the word comfort and comforteth keeps showing up. I want to talk to you tonight about sources of comfort. Sources of comfort. Let's bow our heads for a prayer. Father, it is good to be saved and good to be in your house on this Wednesday night. And thank you, Lord, for this church family. And Lord, for those that come out on a Wednesday night, Lord, I'm thankful. I don't just say that. I'm thankful for folks who in the middle of the week, with the busyness of life and work and school and everything else going on, have set aside time to be here on a Wednesday evening. And I'm asking, Father, that you would bless them for it, Father. Speak to our hearts tonight in a very real way. Give us things that would not only encourage us tonight, but things that we would be able to carry in the days and weeks ahead. I do pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight. I ask and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to talk about comfort tonight, but before we even jump on this topic of comfort, I just want to begin by clearing up two important points that we really need to understand. First of all, and we need to get a hold of this truth, many of the troubles that we go through that require comfort are not exclusive to the Christian life. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 tells us, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is what? Common to man, not common to Christians, but common to man, as in common to mankind. You understand that lost people and saved people share many of the same problems, right? Lost people and saved people both get sick. Lost people and saved people both get cancer. Lost people and saved people both have to get up on Monday and go to work. Lost people and saved people both get stuck in the same traffic. We both lose jobs. We both lose loved ones. We both have money problems. And a lot of times Christians, I'll hear this from Christians, they say it, they're going through some difficulty, some problem, they say, oh, the devil's really after me. And most of the time I'm thinking, I don't say it because I want to be nice, alright, I want to be the nice preacher, but I'm thinking in my head, no, the devil's nowhere near you. You're just living life. Because a lot of the problems we face, it's just part of life. It's not necessarily a spiritual battle. A lot of times it's just because we live in a broken world and we are broken people, and there are broken relationships and broken hearts. We live in a world that is under the curse of sin. So before we even understand about comfort, let us first understand a lot of the problems we face are just part of life. They're common to man. They're common to mankind. The second thing I want to clear up is this idea of comfort. When you hear the word comfort, or when you're praying for comfort, what are you expecting? Think about it for a second. How many times do we go through a trial and we say, God, give me comfort. And we're kind of looking around and waiting for that feeling of comfort, right? Am I the only one? It's almost like we're waiting for that comfort pill, right? Isn't that the way we are as Americans today in 2023? We think everything can be solved with a pill. Just whatever my problems are, just give me that quick fix. Right? I mean, I know Christians who hit an altar and they think that that's a magic pill. I just hit the altar and my problem's going to be faced. No, the real battle is when you step off from off that altar. That's where the real fighting is. And most of the difficulties we face are not fixed with a quick fix. So apply that now to comfort. When we ask God, I'm in the middle of this trouble, this difficulty, God, I need comfort. And we're kind of looking around, waiting for it, aren't we? But here's what we need to understand. Comfort is not a feeling. It's not a feeling. We're waiting for that feeling of comfort, like a comforter, to be wrapped around us, and then we feel better in the middle of that difficulty. But the fact is that comfort is not a feeling. Here's what comfort is. Here's the definition. Relief from distress of mind. That's where the real difficulty is. It is that which gives strength or support in distress, difficulty, danger, or infirmity. We need to realize that comfort is not a feeling we get. Comfort is made available to us through definite sources. And here's the great thing about the Christian walk and the Christian life is that there are definites. There are definite things we need to get a hold of. And let's not base our Christianity or even our faith on feelings. And when we ask God for something, don't wait for a feeling. Run to the Word of God and get some definite answers. And so I want us to look at tonight, if we understand those basic ideas, now let's look at where do we actually get our comfort from? Because if you're like me, I just believe this is real. This is not just a dry textbook to me. I'm living this. And you ought to be living the Christian life. And so I'm not just dryly going through life with a Bible in my hand. I'm looking for answers. This is real to me. And so when I go through difficulty, I'm asking God, I need comfort, and I'm looking for it. God, if you're going to give me comfort, where's it coming from? And we're looking for sources of comfort. Because God promises in 2 Corinthians 1 that He is the God of all comfort and that He will comfort us in all our tribulation. If that is true, where does that comfort come from? Go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And when you find John 14, there in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 14, find verse 16. John 14, verse 16. All right, hopefully you're there. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father. Who will pray the Father? This is Jesus speaking. Jesus says, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you, notice, another Comforter. The Holy Ghost is referred to in John 14 more than once as the Comforter. So we understand He is a source of comfort, but it's a little more than that. He says, He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of what? Truth, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. I love those promises. I will not leave you comfortless. God says He will give us comfort. Now here's the first thing. Here's the first source of comfort if you're taking notes. We have the guidance of the Spirit. And you need to get a hold of this. It's not just the Spirit of God, but it is the guidance that the Spirit of God gives us. When Jesus was with His disciples, you understand, they didn't have the Holy Ghost in John 14. He's speaking of a future thing. He's saying the Comforter will come. In fact, He says, there will be, if you look at verse 14, he says, another comforter. Well, if there's another comforter, who's the first comforter that he's talking about? Anybody guess? Jesus. He's their comforter. So if we're going to understand how the comforter comforts, you're going to have to look at how that first comforter comforted. Right? So how did Jesus, the first comforter, comfort those disciples? Because he said, when I leave, there's another comforter coming, and he will comfort you as he guides you. He's the Spirit of truth. You know what I find as I read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Here's what I see time and time again. Jesus, the Comforter, brings His disciples into a difficulty. I mean, it doesn't happen haphazardly. He walks them into trouble sometimes. He constrains them into a ship right into the middle of a storm. He goes up a mountain and leaves them at the foot of the mountain to dabble with devils. Jesus purposely brought them into trouble, and then when they got in that trouble, watch this, when they got into that trouble, their minds were filled with trouble because they didn't understand what was going on, and they didn't understand what the Lord was trying to do, but then Jesus came alongside of them, and as they looked to Him, He taught them some truth in the midst of that difficulty, and when they got a hold of that truth, you know what happened? Relief of mind came in. And they were comforted. You ought to pay attention to that when you go through the Gospels, because it happens time and time again. Jesus brings them into trouble. He brings them into tribulation. And then in patience, they have to look to Him, right? And then through that experience of them being patiently looking to Him, He takes them through that experience, and in the midst of that experience, He teaches them. He teaches them a truth about Himself. He'll teach them a truth about prayer. He'll teach them a truth about service. He'll teach them a truth about faith. He'll teach them some truth that they had not yet experienced and learned in the midst of that tribulation. And as they, in tribulation, patiently look to Him, and He guides them through that experience, and they learn something, through that experience they now have comfort and hope. You see that? Tribulation, patience, experience, and then the hope comes. That's in the Bible, right? Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Now look at this, verse 3. He says, Romans 5 verse 3, Paul writes, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. We don't actually glory in the pain of tribulations, but we ought to glory in the process of the tribulations. Because God's working something through those tribulations. So we glory in those tribulations. Why? Knowing, because we know something, this is why we glory in tribulations. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. That's exactly what I'm talking about tonight. Jesus walked them into tribulation. They looked to Him in patience, relying on Him. And then He brought them through that experience, teaching them some truth. And then as they learned that truth through experience, it birthed hope in their minds and hearts. Now if Jesus did that, follow me now, I'm going somewhere. That's what Jesus did as He walked side by side with His disciples for those years. Then He said, I'm leaving, but I won't leave you comfortless. I'm sending you a comforter, and He's called the Spirit of what? Truth. And He will guide you into all truth. Go back to John 16, verse 13. Look at John 16, verse 13. John 16, verse 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, there it is again, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. Christian, you ought to get a hold of this. This is how God works. This is the Christian life. The Spirit of God now, we're not walking with Jesus. We can't see Him face to face right now. But if you're saved, praise God, the Spirit of God lives within you. He's not coming on you at certain times. He's not visiting you in the night. He's with you 24/7, 365. You don't have to pray for Him to come. You don't have to say, Lord, be with me. He's already with you. Amen? I mean, He's in you. And He's there to do what? Here's one of the things He does. He's guiding you into all truth. Now, we'd love to just sit back and soak in the truth, but that's not how we learn best. Right? We learn best when the Spirit of truth and God guides us into tribulation, and in the midst of tribulation, He teaches us some truth, and when you get a hold of that truth, and your mind is opened, and your spiritual eyes are open, then comfort comes in, because that relief of mind settles in. I'm telling you, some of the greatest truths of the Christian life I've learned were not on the mountaintops. They were in the valleys. They weren't when the sun was shining. It was at the darkest points. When I've learned about faith, when I've learned about God and who He is and how He works and what He expects of me, those greatest, most profound truths were learned in the midst of tribulation when the Spirit of God was guiding me into truth. Christian, you ought to get a hold of that truth. You ought to get a hold of it. And when you get into that trouble, you ought to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, what are You trying to teach me? What is it I need to learn about You? What is it I need to learn about myself? What is it I need to learn about the Word of God and faith and the Christian life? The world turns to drugs and pills and entertainment and drinking. They're trying to numb the pain in order to experience relief of mind, right? Christian, you ought to keep yourself from those things. You don't need the drugs, you don't need the pills, you don't need the drinking, you don't need the entertainment. When you're going through difficulty, look to God and wait on Him patiently, and that patience will take you through experience, and that experience will birth hope, and that's where comfort comes. The guidance of the Spirit. Now go over to Romans chapter 15. We'll see our second source of comfort. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Romans 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime... Now when Paul's writing Romans 15, what do you think he's talking about? What things were written aforetime? Big chunk of the Bible called the Old Testament. Okay? Those are the things written aforetime. Whatsoever things were written aforetime, why were they written? Here's one of the reasons. Were written for our learning. Okay, I'm just making sure you're following. That we through patience and, there it is, comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So the first thing, first source, is the guidance of the Spirit. The second one are the godly examples in Scripture. The godly examples in Scripture. Now, you need to pay attention to the wording here. Every word is important, right? It does not say that we read the Bible and automatically comfort comes. Come on now, let's be honest. This is how I am, and I know you're probably the same. When you're burdened about something, you're asking God, God, I need comfort, and you reach for your Bible, which is the right thing to do, and you open your Bible and you start reading, which is the right thing to do. But here's where we go wrong. We read and we're waiting for that comfort to come, right? What are we waiting for? We're waiting for a feeling, aren't we? Yeah, because we like good feelings. We want that comfort to come, that relief of mind. But I'm trying to teach you some deeper truths of the Christian life tonight. It's not just reading, because I know this is going to sound very unspiritual, but there are times when I'm looking for comfort, I read my Bible and I come out of it more discouraged than when I started reading. Well, y'all looking at me like I'm the only backslidden one here. Anybody else experience that? I mean, you're down in the mouth, you're stressed out, you're going through some problem, and you're just discouraged as all get out, and you grab your Bible saying, God, I need comfort. I need peace of mind. And you open that Bible and you read, and you're in the middle of Leviticus, and it just ain't coming. Or don't do this, you open to Ecclesiastes. Oh boy. When I'm discouraged, man, I always run to Psalms. That's just me. I run to Psalms. But even then, even some of the sweetest And most precious psalms don't always bring comfort. And sometimes I close my Bible and step back and say, God, I still don't have comfort. Because it's not just reading. Look at that verse again. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Learning. That's the key right there. I'm not teaching that you just read your Bible and that feeling of comfort comes. The Bible is written for thinking people. That's why people in 2023 struggle with the Bible, because the Bible was written for thinking people. And it's hard to think because this does all our thinking for us. And so we need to put that away and let our brains activate, because the Bible is written for thinking people, and God wants you to think, and you need to think about what you read. You need to read, and then you need to step back and meditate about what you're reading. And here's what you got to get a hold of. The Bible is full of examples of real people who endured real troubles in a variety of forms. You've got people in the Bible that had financial problems. You've got people in the Bible that had health problems, family problems, relationship problems, problems with their past, uncertainties about their future, present difficulties. You've got examples all through the Bible of people who lived real troubles, lived through real troubles. And most of those troubles are extreme. The reason God recorded extreme troubles is so they would cover all the spectrum, the whole spectrum of the problems we face. And so this verse teaches us that we are to read and we are to learn from them. And as we learn from them, what we learn brings us comfort. God purposely recorded the accounts of Job, Jeremiah. Did you ever read about Jeremiah in that pit? Everybody's forsaken him. And in the middle of the dungeon, God says, I want you to buy a piece of property. Yeah, figure that one out. Ezekiel, what troubles he went through. Moses, how God had to bring him 40 years on the backside of the desert to turn him into a shepherd in order to lead God's people. David, Rachel, Esther. I mean, read the stories and the accounts of these real life people. And as we learn what they went through, what God did for them, how their character developed, their individual personality and life, how God developed them, we see that and we can learn from those examples. And what we learn and come away with, that brings us comfort. Folks, this is real stuff. I'm talking about this week I dealt with problems where I had to run to the example of Job, and I had to look at what Job went through and read how Job responded, and the fact of what he said brought comfort to my heart. Go to James chapter 5. Look at James chapter 5, verse 10. What's the first word in verse 10? What is it? Take. God wants you to grab a hold of something. He wants you to take it. What is it He tells you to take? Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. You know what He says? He says, don't just blandly read. Don't just blandly, dryly read through your Bible and say, God, I'm not getting any comfort. What's the point? No, He says, take it. Get a hold of it. Take it for what? Take those Old Testament prophets and the example for an example. Take it for an example of what? Of suffering affliction and of patience. Take them for an example. And as you take them for an example, you gain comfort. Verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And so here's another source of comfort, and it is the godly examples in Scripture. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 for our last one. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, look at verse 4. Now, 2 Corinthians, you understand, 1 Corinthians was a book that was all about the problems in the church. Right? Every chapter in 1 Corinthians was addressing a different problem in the church. 2 Corinthians is very different from 1 Corinthians. Paul's not correcting problems in the church. He's actually sharing a lot of very personal burdens in the ministry. 2 Corinthians tells us a lot about the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul went through tremendous difficulties. He talks a little bit about it here. Look at 2 Corinthians 7, and let's pick up in verse 4. Verse 4, great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. Notice, I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. He describes a little bit of that tribulation, verse 5. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. You ever been there? Come on, Christian, you ever been there? Our flesh had no rest. That's pretty extreme. But we were troubled on every side, with outward fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us. By what? The coming of Titus. So you see what's going on here? Paul's troubled on every side, but something caused him to be filled with comfort. You know what filled him with comfort? It was another Christian. It was Titus. And it wasn't just Titus, but it was actually the whole church of Corinth. Look down at verse 13. Verse 13, therefore we were comforted in your comfort. He says, I was in the midst of this trouble and difficulty. He said, but Titus shows up, and Titus alone brings me comfort. His fellowship, his unity in the faith, the fact that he's going through troubles and I'm going through troubles, Paul says, and together we can sharpen one another and encourage one another. And he says, Titus comforted. He said, but it wasn't just Titus, but he brought with him the comfort of the church at Corinth. And he said, we were comforted in your comfort. And so here's the third source of comfort. It is the gift of support. The gift of support. You understand this? God puts you in a, I like saying this, God puts you in a church family. You're part of a family. You're part of the family of God. And God puts you in a local church. It's not just to walk into the back, sit in a pew, gain a little something, give a little something in the offering, and then walk out. No, you need to be a part of this thing. You're part of a family. And Bible Baptist Church witnessed that yesterday. I saw it with my own eyes. How that our family was able to sit back and I watched our family, our extended family, be able to grieve and not have to worry about arrangements and not have to worry about food and not have to worry about is everybody getting enough coffee and not have to worry about is the building clean. And not, you know what that is? That's a church family that sees a family within the church grieving and they surround them and they support them. That's a gift. That's a gift. Do you realize that's in us? Our human nature craves that. That's why people join social clubs. That's why they're part of the bowling league. Yeah, they like bowling, but they like being around people. We crave that. That's why they join the Rotary Club and the Moose and the Elk and the... I don't even know what they are. But it's all these social clubs. Why? Because we're social creatures. And we crave support. We crave the help and support of people around us. If you're saved, you know where that social club is for you? And I'm not reducing the church to a social club, but you understand what I'm saying. That part of us that craves that support, you find it in a church family. Out there are lost people. And you can get along with them to a certain degree. But when it's time to weep, this family weeps together. When it's time to rejoice, we rejoice together. This is the gift of support. And we ought to comfort one another. You ought to be thankful that you're part of a church family. And this truth brings us right back to where we started, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It's sad. You know, it's sad to see, and I've seen this, I'm sure you've seen this. You watch some Christians come into a trial. You see them come into a trial, and what happens? They pull away from their church family. You ever seen it? I've seen it. A lot of newer Christians, it happens sometimes. Some Christians who are weak in the faith, but some who have been in it for a while, but that difficulty hits, and they pull back. We got to understand, this is where the support comes. This is where the comfort is. God says, I'm comforting you through the family around you, the church family. So you come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You know what one of the greatest sources of comfort is? Is when someone in the church walks up beside you, puts their arm around you, and says, I've been through this. Right? I mean, when a 10-year-old comes up to you, they haven't been through it. They can't offer you a lot of comfort. They might give you a hug, and that gives you a warm feeling for a couple seconds. But when a Christian comes beside you that has been through what you've gone through, When you get that announcement from the doctor that you've got cancer, it's something. There's something about that Christian who's gone through cancer that sidles up beside you and puts their arm around you and prays with you and says, I've been through this. I know what you're going through. Aren't those comforting words? I know what you're going through. Whether you've been through a family problem, a financial problem, whatever the problem is, but when a Christian comes alongside you and says, I've been there. I know what you're going through. God will get you through this. Doesn't that bring comfort? Guess what, Christian? You can do that to someone else in this church. When you see a Christian going through a problem that you've been through, and some of you Christians, some of you folks here, you've been living the Christian life for a while. And there are younger Christians that are going to go through trials that you've already been through, and they're experiencing it for the first time. When you see that Christian going through that trial, you see him struggling. You see them backsliding. You see them starting to lose their faith. Boy, you ought to get close to them, put your arms around them, pray with them, and say, brother, I've been there. I've been through what you're going through. Don't give up. Don't quit. Be a comfort to them. Does that make sense? The comfort that God gave you, that comforted you in the midst of that tribulation, you can now pass on that comfort to the next Christian. It's the gift of support. And you ought to get a hold of that. What a gift it is to be part of a church. So the big question tonight is, are you going to those sources of comfort that God's making available to you? Let's stand to our feet as we close tonight.